Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Maybe the rain's gone for a little while.
It's a nicer Monday than a week ago.
You're right about that.
For a lot of reasons.
You're right. I mean, it was. It rained all last week.
Yep.
I mean, it was nasty and wasn't exactly beautiful during the ball game on Saturday. But the game was sure a lot prettier, wasn't it?
The second half was, for sure.
You're right. First half, second quarter especially.
Yeah.
Was not beautiful or anything, but Auburn does win. They beat New Mexico 45-19. Tigers 2-1 in open conference play this Saturday against the Arkansas Razorbacks. So we'll talk about that. We'll look back at Hank Brown's first start. I thought a very solid first start for Hank Brown.
You know, what I liked the most about it, and Coach Freeze addressed it today, was I think he counted like three mistakes. And I don't know the full snap count for Hank, but I think that's pretty good in any game. I don't
care
who your
opponent
is, especially for a redshirt freshman in his first start. And I think, I think the mistakes I think he completed a pass, but there was a better option. Or no, two of them were better options on passes.
Right.
And then what was the other one? Do you remember?
The main thing I remember is he said all three of them weren't bad decisions.
Right.
They just weren't necessarily the best decision. So, yeah. All in all, I thought very good performance. Four touchdowns, no turnovers. He had a couple of passes that you go, whew, on.
It was a rollout pass. That was the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they were all passes.
Yeah.
He made the right reads on and right checks on all the runs.
100% correct.
Yeah. How about that?
That's just really impressive. And from being around Coach Freeze now for a little while, he doesn't tend to give glowing reports on any player.
No, especially a quarterback, you're right.
Who he works with directly.
He wants as close to perfection as possible.
Yeah. So when somebody's solid, you can say that as pretty good or really good for a quarterback.
Yeah, no question. So we'd love your thoughts on that. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com alongside here on this Monday. Dan is headed to Atlanta to Truist to check out Game 4 of the Braves-Dodgers series. Braves won the first two. Dodgers won last night with
tough.
A 7-run ninth.
Yeah, that was tough. I had a 2-0 lead for
right.
most of that game.
Yeah, watched too much soccer. 2-0.
I know.
Not in baseball.
Right.
2-0. So the Braves and Mets are tied for the third wild card spot right now as we head into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. So,
is that right?
Dan, yeah.
Wow.
September 30th or 29th is the last day of the season, two weeks from yesterday.
The last day of the season usually runs
It used
October.
To be a little into early October. They decided to try to move it back, end it by September, by the end of September this year. Dan will check in with us at about a quarter after. We'll check in with him each hour as he's on his way over to Atlanta. In the meantime, we'd love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390, or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of The Drive, and the text box, 334-564-1840. Let's get to the Drive hotline as Jay calling in early today on this Monday. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing fine.
Good. I appreciate y'all taking my call again. I enjoyed talking with y'all last week. I hope to start the day off with something maybe a little bit off the beaten path. I know I've mentioned to y'all I'm a retired high school football coach, and as an offensive coordinator, I actually got to coach a lot of the offensive line in some years and wasn't always simply a quarterback's coach, though that was what I did most of the time. But I I wanted to throw out there some thoughts to y'all about our offensive line. I know I listened to your callers, and they're all on point through the months during a season about need to be able to run the ball better or pass protect better. But what I'm going to do this season, I think, since there's so much fun and so much interest and so many folks want to talk about the quarterback play and our awesome receiver play, I'm going to focus my season, I think, on the O-line. I just wanted to mention to you guys, looking back through the game, I went to the game and you know, just like anything else, it's always not as good as you think and not as bad as you think when you watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
But rewatching it, you know, I really believe that this entire season offensively, and I'm just going to probably focus on the offensive side of the ball this season and that offensive line. I know we've got to get better in recruiting at that position, and we already have. But I'm going to tell you, our season offensively is going to come down to that, and everybody in the world who knows football is going to say the same thing. If you don't have it going on in the trenches, you are going to struggle. And I'll tell you what our struggles are from rewatching the game. And I just set it down with my chart and graded it like I've done for 30-something years. We've got some good players up there, but we do not have five SEC caliber players on our line of scrimmage yet. And I'm not going to call names or numbers. That's not the point. But we've got some guys who are. I'll tell you what, our offensive line coach coaches the hound out of them. It's obvious to me, watching technique. And I'm talking feet and hands look just absolutely good. But I'll tell you, man, the beef, the drive out of our offensive linemen just isn't there yet as an entire group. It's there at some individual positions, and it's there as a whole sometimes. But we've not played, as y'all know, we've not played a defensive front yet that has told the tale. And we probably will begin that, obviously, this weekend and then definitely the following weekend and beyond.
Oh, yeah.
But if we don't get the drive at the point of attack like we are going to need to win to get yardage and score points and win football games, guys, I'm kind of like concerned about it. And I know most fans, including me, watch the backfield and watch the quarterback play and watch the receivers. But I'll tell you what, our tight ends are a different story. We are a little bit slight in terms of size at the tight end position.
Well, that's where the loss of Brandon Frazier is really going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because he was a big guy who also could catch the ball. I mean, Auburn appears to have either or as a tight end. They've got more receiving types or more blocking types, and you'd like to have somebody that could do both, and Brandon was, and unfortunately he's out for a good while.
I agree. Well, let me just say, at the point of attack, in what appears to be our scheme of things on the offensive line, running the football at the point of attack, we did pretty well getting underneath on some double teams and driving them back into the linebacker area. But on one-on-ones, I'm telling you, man, I'm concerned because we struggled at some one-on-ones. Our tight ends did okay, but they were typically either blocking out on an outside linebacker and a less than an SEC caliber linebacker, or they were blocking down on a lineman that you know, they kept their feet moving, so they got some push. But from guard to center to guard, gosh, you know, one-on-ones, we just whiffed too many times. And we saw our running backs, you know, and we've got SC caliber upper echelon running backs. But when they got knocked backwards in the backfield, it wasn't them. It was linebackers.
Short yardage was definitely a problem. And I wonder, and that's something I thought about asking today, if they might revisit their direct snaps to the tailbacks, because, man, teams are teeing off and being able to get in the backfield before, I mean, as the ball is you know, just being received by either Jarquez or Damari.
Yeah, it's a wasted – it feels like a wasted play, because not only what you're saying I believe is accurate, but off the edges, we don't have enough people in to block the edge the edge guys that are going to be coming in too. We don't have enough to block them, and that's by design, and that's okay as long as we handle the snap.
Right. Yeah. They're supposed to be out of the play. You're supposed to be past them, but right. But yeah, that I agree. I was concerned. Of course, Auburn Saturday had a couple of guys playing different spots. Dylan Wade had moved from guard to tackle.
Wade is much better at guard.
He is. And then you had a couple of guys that hadn't been playing there at guard. I thought Connor Lue struggled a little more than I expected.
I
Saturday.
Yeah. I agree. On one time, he was singled up on someone. Like I say, their technique is sound, if you were to ask me. I think they're attempting to do the right thing. I just think with, you know, I think back to the Al Borges days, and I think about some other years through the years when we had five guys that were huge and, you know, strong and so on and so forth. And we got some big guys now, but we're going to have to somehow get back to that average of about 305 on the line of scrimmage and strong and the ability to push I'm saying it in the most elementary terms, but to push the guy that you're blocking. And it's beyond simple techniques. Our technique, I think, is okay.
Yeah, just need more brute strength. Heck, you know what? Times continue to change. Auburn probably averages 310 plus on the offensive line. I mean, you look at it, Connor, until Tate started Saturday,
right.
Connor was the lightest guy on the offensive line, and he's 300, 305. So, I mean, it's perspective now because everybody's bigger. I mean, now you see giant defensive linemen, bigger guys, just all over the field. So, but I agree. I mean, Auburn didn't get that surge that you'd like to see. Hey, Jay, we've got other callers. Anything else?
No, that's it. I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Appreciate the call, Jay.
You know, Auburn is having to rebuild the offensive line through recruiting. One guy, DeAndre Carter, I think is exactly the type of player he's talking about.
Yeah, he's a 340-pounder right now.
Big dude that can move some people. We may end up seeing him this season. We'll see how it continues.
Yeah, when we saw practice a little last week, he was running number two.
Yep, so I would not rule him out. You know, I know there's a balance between wanting to redshirt a kid or if he's good enough, maybe getting him in there as, you know, getting that experience. So that's a possibility as early as this season. I think they've got five offensive line commits in this upcoming class, four or five. I think some of those guys are going to be really good players too. So it's, you know,
it's definitely a priority, which it wasn't for a few years.
Yeah. And then, you know, the tackle position is one they're just going to keep have to have to work at. You know, they're recruiting some high profile guys. They got Broderick Shull coming in who, you know, probably maybe need a year or so to get, you know, to
which isn't uncommon at all on the offensive line.
But the other thing I think is maybe they need to go after some more high-profile transfers on the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
Like offensive tackle is a premier position along with quarterback.
Oh, it absolutely
rusher,
is. I mean,
wide receiver, cornerback.
It's one of the most coveted spots if you can get somebody like that.
Instead of maybe having 16 scholarship guys, if you have to, have a few less and spend a lot on the right tackle. That can make a big difference, I feel like.
334-321-1390, right back to the Drive hotline. And G is up next. Hey, G.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Pretty good.
Great. Went to the game. I was pleased. I thought Hank Brown, for a first game, did well. I was the same way. You know, it was a couple of passes that he probably shouldn't have thrown, but I did like the way he checked off. That was fantastic. There was just some observations that I had made, and I just want to run this by y'all, see what y'all think about this. At the Wildcat position, does it seem like we should have somebody like Sam Jackson there?
I'm not even sure they should even run the Wildcat, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure.
I got you.
I don't see it. Do you see a lot of teams doing that anymore?
No, you don't really.
To me, it's kind of run its course, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a coach. I don't, you know.
It surely hasn't worked.
Right.
For Auburn, hasn't fooled anybody so far.
I mean, to me, you have to have a passing option at the Wildcat.
Yeah, you need. Yeah, that's the thing.
The purpose.
And the way the penetration's been there, you don't know if Jarquez or Damari might have thought about throwing the ball. But yeah, you wondered about Sam Jackson, the guy who has played quarterback or somebody like that back there.
For sure. And then one other thing, where were the refs? Were they SEC refs?
I did not.
Yes, they were. Because I watched the replay, and it was Yeah, very familiar head official.
Okay, because that call in the north end zone where New Mexico pushed off for a touchdown, mm-hmm. I mean, it was so obvious. And I just could not believe they didn't call, offensive pass.
I got to be honest, anything that happens in the north end zone is like...
It's like on the moon.
Yeah.
Well, it's like plus, for us.
Plus, that glass was like covered in rain and steam.
It was tough. Even with my binoculars, yeah. It was tough.
It was terrible.
Though? I mean, it does seem that offensive pass interference is just less likely to be called this year. In watching a few ball games, yeah. I've seen some what I thought were really obvious offensive pass interference, and they're either not called or it's called on the defense, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's just maybe that's the game. You know, it's
I think grabbing and pushing from a wide receiver and cornerback, they're both doing it on just about any play like that. You can see them.
Sure.
So, you know, sometimes you catch the end of it where one of them do it to the other, or same with the refs, they might call it, but, you know, I just think that's part of the game.
Well, this was just so blatant. I was shocked.
The thing that was disappointing to me was it took them so long a few times. That one time on the kickoff when there were multiple flags, and it's like, I was like, what are they talking about?
Did we get an official game time? Was it 4 hours?
It was right at 4 hours because it was 3 hours. I know my son and the 2.5-year-old granddaughter were there for 3 hours, and that just made it through the third quarter.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
And how many penalties did New Mexico have?
Did
I hear somebody say
18?
16 for 112. Auburn had 9 for 88.
Yeah, so there were 25 penalties.
That's a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
Unreal. Well, then the other thing was I love Keontae Scott, you know, but – we've had a couple.
You got to catch. You can't have that. That's why I had to ask.
He's had two
Coach
Freeze
about
that, right?
Yeah.
It was the last game, and was it the?
And he had another bobble.
California game? He had one, or was it? Okay,
I think it was.
Yeah.
What? Okay. What did Hugh Freeze?
He said the most important thing is that after a punt, we have the ball.
Yeah.
And said that then he went right into talking about Malcolm Simmons.
Yeah. But he did say that they would look at it.
They would. I mean, Keontae is so dangerous once he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
But I mean, he has told us multiple times the most important thing on a punt is that you catch it and you retain control.
I don't think I read between the lines with him as well as I used to, because I can go back a week ago and the things he said about quarterback
when he was talking about
I thought Peyton Thorne.
When he was talking about simplifying things, it sounded like we're getting ready for Hank.
So I came out of last week's Monday press conference thinking it was still going to be Peyton. So you thought it was Hank after Monday?
I sort of did.
All right. Well, I need to work on reading him better.
Well, guys, thank you for taking all this.
All right, G. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. We'll check in with Dan Peck, who's on his way to Atlanta, get his thoughts on the game and more as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
This is Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scout.
7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And as we mentioned, Dan is on his way to Atlanta, headed over to Truist Park to see game number 4, an odd 4-game series wraparound weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Game 4 of that series tonight at Truist Park as the Braves are fighting for a wild card spot. The Dodgers looking to see if they can close ground and move back into the top spot overall in the National League. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'll be honest, I'm pessimistic about the Dodgers in the postseason this year. Glasnow not coming back. Kershaw's hurt.
Yeah, he's probably not coming back now.
Yeah, Bueller's not himself. I mean, we're probably looking at Landon Knack, starting a playoff game. So it's been a tumultuous season. I'll be glad to see the guys. Never seen Ohtani in person before. Obviously, I'm not. This will be my first chance to see Yamamoto pitching for the Dodgers. The team was acquired this offseason. I'm not sure I've ever seen Freddie Freeman in person before, Bill, because I'm thinking about it, and I didn't go to a Braves game during his tenure, and I'm looking forward to checking that off my list too.
Dan, I hope you have the worst time of your life tonight, and I hope Ferg leaves you in Atlanta after the Braves win like 25-0 or nothing.
Nil.
I can't help it. I can't help it.
You're going to beat us 25 to love.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take that.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I like Truist. I think the Braves, I think the park is it's a really cool addition to Major League Baseball. And I got no beef with the organization. Yeah, I hope you guys make the playoffs this year. So I'm looking forward to a fun game. In Truist tonight.
I got beef with the Dodgers. Ever since they had Fernando and who was the manager back then?
Lasorda.
Yeah,
Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, yeah. Tommy Lasorda, yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I thought Tommy was great. I'm just kidding around, but yeah.
I got you. No, I was hearing some of the calls already, about Saturday's game. And I stay optimistic. What about you guys?
Well, you definitely feel better than we did a week ago. I mean, I thought Hank's performance was really good. Now the question is, when do they get Cam Coleman back? I like what we've seen out of Keandre Lambert-Smith. The defense, the adjustments that DJ Durkin has made at halftime, I think have been very impressive. But Auburn can't afford to be allowing 250 plus yards in first halves as we get into SEC play.
And I would say...
Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say the next 2 weeks, I've got a lot of respect for T. Will and his ability as a coach and what he's going to bring for Arkansas's defense against Auburn. I think they've got some pretty good players, especially a good pass rusher there and some big guys up front. And then the next week after that, you've got one of the best defensive minds in the country.
Brent Venables.
Yeah, Brent Venables, Oklahoma head coach. So Hank Brown's really going to be tested, I think, these next 2 weeks. With his decision making, right? He's going to be put under pressure, and he's going to have to make quick, tough decisions. So it'll be really interesting to see how he responds. This is definitely going to be a step up, and then probably another step up over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I get concerns about the defense and the offensive line after what we've seen through 3 weeks, and I want to see what it looks like against better competition. But all told, I thought Hank Brown had a really successful debut. I mean, he was not perfect. There were a couple of throws that are probably routine that Hank missed. There's the over the middle to Robert Lewis comes to mind, where it's like, ooh, that's a throw you should probably make if you want to be an SEC quarterback.
I wonder about that one and some of the throws in the second quarter. I do wonder about being able to grip the ball as wet as that was.
We got wet
second
balls
half,
this week.
Yeah. Second half. He didn't have an incompletion until the last two were dropped. All 11 of his passes in the second half, well, 10 of the 11, well, let's put it this way. He threw one there was an interference call on. But the 11 other passes he threw were, really on target there in the second half.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to those, to the couple of throws in the second quarter that he missed. Like you said, the weather could certainly have played a factor in it, too. I thought he had some really good moments. I thought that the both touchdown passes are impressive plays by the quarterback. The throw to Sam Jackson is really impressive, where he waits instead of dumping it to Damari in the flat, and he throws a beautiful pass to Sam Jackson. I thought there were, he's got a moxie, right? He provides a spark. And that's something that this offense needed.
And he is he's a fairly confident young man.
Yeah, not in the wrong way either. I think he's humble, but also believes in himself.
Did you hear him in the post game?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about dominating. He's ready to dominate Arkansas.
I didn't hear that part.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was on TV.
Okay. Well, good luck, young man.
I hope so. Hope he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Kay and Lee thing, we were talking about that during the game, Bill. You had to think it was injury.
Yeah.
Right?
Because Hugh confirmed that. He said today he probably could have played, but they wanted to try to hold him out. And you could see Auburn needs Kay and Lee healthy.
I wonder if I mean, Auburn went with Deontay and Champ as the outside corners to open that game. I wonder if you might see two different corners on the outside this Saturday with Kane coming back and Antonio Kite playing as much as he did in the football game again and getting the interception that he was able to get. He gave up the touchdown too, but I thought, you know, Kite's somebody, you know, there's reason to believe he's going to get better. You know, he's getting his first real taste of this college football action. I hope Deontay can return to form.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if, as we were talking just a little while ago, if he's the punt returner this week.
Yeah, we will see.
I would think that, and if the hamstring is slowing him up as a defensive back, you would think the hamstring's also impacting his ability to be the best possible punt returner. But beyond that, it's just, yeah, I mean, you just hate to see him out there struggling when you have young players that could benefit from the opportunity.
Yeah, now Arkansas coming in, you know, we talked about, you mentioned Travis Williams. Bobby Petrino will have a plan, and the Auburn defense is – They're going to have their hands full with this Arkansas offense. I mean, they've got a very athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
And Hugh Freeze just went on and on today talking about how big they are on the offensive line. And Auburn has not really been able – they've been able to get some penetration, but they haven't really been able to get two quarterbacks. And it's going to be tough to get Green, get your hands on Green and bring him down. He's a big guy who can really move.
And it's also, I guess, concerning – that Auburn's defense have got off to slow starts.
Yeah.
Whereas you got a guy, Petrino, who can really break down a defense early and really hurt a defense early and come in with really strong game plans that it takes time to adjust to sometimes. So that first quarter or the, you know, first quarter, midway through the second quarter is going to be so important for Auburn not to let things get away from them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking with Don Dunn later this week because that's somebody who's been both a colleague and an opponent of Bobby Petrino, and he can tell us a little bit more about. He also coached Travis Williams, but it's you know, somebody that we can talk to about this. But Hugh Freeze gave a great answer at the press conference talking about Petrino and his ability to make explosive passing plays out of run formations, out of big heavy sets.
Yeah,
is something that's always been a trademark of Petrino's offenses, and if you're not ready to stop the run as a defense, Petrino will make you pay for that. And if you're over-prepared, if you're overcompensating to stop the run, usually Petrino can make you pay for that too. So it's a test of your balance, and it's a test of your weaknesses as a defense. Anything you try to conceal, he's going to attempt to attack, and it's just a matter. I do wonder with Auburn's defense if the lack of a pass rush has been because they faced, especially Saturday, that's a guy who can make a big play with his feet if you're not trying to contain him. And I thought Auburn was maybe – I thought there were times where they were dropping guys off coverage.
Oh, yeah. Dampier didn't hurt Auburn with his running by any means. I mean, he got almost all of his yards very early on and then didn't do much more. But – Talon Green's a guy that can beat you with his legs as well as his arm. I've been surprised, Brian, that we have seen Jalen McLeod. I mean, he's really playing more of a linebacker and almost a middle linebacker sometimes as compared to being a buck.
Yeah, and I like to move him around some, especially in pass rushing situations to confuse. But
he drops more than he seems to rush.
I mean,
so far.
His best thing that he does is get on the edge,
get after the quarterback,
and beat fat tackles to the quarterback. Right? I mean, let's have him do more of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been a little surprised with that too. I thought maybe in the first game they were using McLeod to spy the A&M quarterback, but they were also they seemed to use him in a similar role against the Cal quarterback, who's not as much of a mobile threat. So maybe it's. Maybe it's just trying to avoid predictability as a defense, but yeah, you don't want guys going against their strengths. And I wonder how much of that. You know, we'll see. But I've been surprised too that McLeod and Kieron Crawford, for that matter, have both come into the game and dropped into coverage, I think, more than people were expecting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see as we start SEC play. Dan, appreciate you checking in. We may check back with you in hour number two. How close are you?
I am I'm somewhere between the Kia plant and the airport.
Oh, okay.
Right now. So
you got a ways to go.
That's a large stretch there. That's not really narrowing it down, to be honest with you.
Sorry, I couldn't narrow it down. Yeah, but there's
He's between 30 and 100 miles from here.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a ton of noteworthy stuff I'm going to pass on that stretch either. So, I'm somewhere. Yeah, I'm near the Columbus exit.
We want to wish you nothing but the worst.
285 then, yeah.
Yeah, hope you get there and back safe, but everything else goes terrible.
All right, appreciate it, guys. All right.
All right, Dan, take care. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Give us your thoughts on anything from this past weekend or whatever you want to talk about sports-wise here on the Monday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. We just checked in with Dan, who's on his way over to Atlanta to check out Game 4 of the Braves and Dodgers over at Truist Park. Weather should be fine for tonight, I think the rain is pretty much moved through and looked like we're in for a pretty dry week. So that's not going to be a concern as we get into SEC football. Arkansas coming in town. Brian, it has been it's a crazy start in college football.
It is.
You think you have a handle on a team, and then, wow, the next week something crazy happens. I mean, let's start with South Carolina. Ooh. They struggle against Old Dominion.
Right.
And then they had to go on the road to Kentucky.
Right.
And I wasn't the only one that thought, it doesn't look good for South Carolina. And they blow Kentucky out.
Destroy them, yeah.
Destroy them. And then
they come home.
They come home and should have won.
Oh,
they should have beaten LSU.
Too many missed opportunities in that game.
Too many missed opportunities, and the officials missed an opportunity,
they did.
I thought. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit at the press conference before it got started. What can you do when a quarterback throws an interception and he is pursuing the play?
Right.
Can you not touch him? That negated a pick six.
Right.
That was the difference in the ball game.
Yep, it really was. And so I love the way South Carolina came out and played so aggressive, got the crowd into it. You just loved it. And
South Carolina, I thought
17, I think.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes. South Carolina, I thought, should have won that ball game. But from that, we came to the opinion that, well, Kentucky's really bad, and they don't have a chance against Georgia. And I'm sure all their fans are feeling like they should have beaten Georgia. And
was it 4th and 6? Is that right?
4th and 5 or 6 around midfield with like 4 minutes to go.
Look, this could be one of the biggest.
And you're down 13-12. You've dominated the game.
I think one of the biggest wins in Kentucky football history was when they beat Bill Curry's Alabama back in the day. Is that right? Does that seem right? This could have been right up there, maybe above that, probably above that.
Absolutely. I think it would have been. Because this is a legit Georgia team that's won 2 of the last 3 national titles and was ranked number 1 coming in.
And when you're in those situations, you got to go for it. You got to have that play that you've saved up for this special occasion, right?
Yes.
Whatever it is. You just got to go for it and show your players.
Instead, they counted on, their defense, until they'd allowed the touchdown, their defense had dominated. Georgia had 63 yards total offense in the first half. 63
That's
yards.
Crazy.
But Georgia made plays when they had to, and then they get the ball back and they're able to get first downs and
clock out. You're trusting your defense, but you're also going against one of the best quarterbacks in the country, a guy who's going to be a high NFL draft pick. So you've done a great job holding him down the whole game,
Can Auburn fans relate to that a couple of times?
Yes, they can.
I mean, really. Yeah. So you've got to. Well, if there's an opportunity, you got to take it. You got to go for it, and they didn't. So So they lose, and I mean, I don't know what to think. I mean, maybe Kentucky was I'm sure Kentucky was thinking about Georgia when South Carolina came in. They probably took South Carolina for granted, took them lightly, and South Carolina jumped them and beat them. So I don't know. I mean, makes you wonder, is Georgia not quite as good as they've been the last couple of years?
I wouldn't assume that. They've had a game like this every year.
I know, like. And they win them. Yep. And it's usually every other year it's been in Lexington.
Yep.
The last three times they played in Lexington are the only three times that Georgia hasn't scored at least 20 points on the road.
Yeah, it's like Alabama coming to Jordan-Hare the last couple of times.
It really has been. Really has been. So, I mean, you look right now, and the SEC has six of the top seven teams in the polls.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize
Texas moved to one. Georgia is two. Ohio State's three. Then you've got, who is it?
It's not LSU.
No. LSU's like 15. Yeah. Tennessee.
Tennessee's like great.
It's Alabama, Ole Miss, and Missouri. Then yeah, Tennessee 6 and Missouri 7.
Tennessee's look good. Would anybody predict
Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Would anybody predicted Florida State and Florida over so far this season? I mean, you talk about bad. Those two schools are just getting
killed. Well, Florida did beat Samford.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
oh,
they beat Samford.
I'm sorry. They got to win. I want
Florida State is over, and Cal is going to Tallahassee this weekend. Yeah. I will not be surprised, though, if Florida State gets a win. Cal having to make its second cross-country trip in 3 weeks. I think I think it could catch up with them.
We'll see.
Florida State's not very good. Yeah. Florida State's not very good. Oof. Florida's not very good.
No.
Florida and Mississippi State play this week.
I know.
What a stinker. I mean, Mississippi State.
Is that in Starkville or is that in?
It's in Starkville.
Oh.
Mississippi State gets destroyed by Toledo.
I know, at home.
That's what I mean. What a crazy year it is, not just in the SEC, but around the country, but especially you can look at it in the SEC when you got six of the top seven teams in the country, but then you see some of the things going on
at the bottom of the league.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Auburn right now is a question. It's like, what are they?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, Auburn has.
I'll tell you the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, I mean, it gets incrementally tougher every week now. Arkansas, then Oklahoma, then you go to Athens.
Mm. You know, just concentrate on Arkansas, right? Just one at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't afford to look ahead. That's something that's been shown all across the country from with either upsets or near upsets. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. What did you think about this past weekend? What did you think about Hank Brown's debut as a starter? I think it's great that he got that opportunity, and now he's at home again this week for Arkansas. You know, we talked about it a lot during the week last week, Brian, and there were differing opinions as to, well, let him come in the third series or in the second quarter or something like that. I really felt all week that if you're strongly considering making the change, you want to find out about Hank Brown, you got to put him out there. Put him out there at the beginning.
I felt like that was the move that needed to be made. I just really didn't think you was going to do it until Friday and we started hearing the rumblings that he had made the decision. And it was the right decision, in my opinion. I just think the way I looked at it was you need to make the decision now because you might be forced to make it in 2 weeks or 1 week.
And then throw Hank Brown into the fire without any, without any preparation or any opportunity to get some experience.
Because that game against New Mexico was vital for him.
Yes.
To know he can step on the field, he can do it in Jordan-Hare Stadium in front of a big crowd on TV, all that stuff. You get out of all those first game jitters and stuff that you have to. And then you put your head down and you play a big SEC opponent.
Yeah, and you know what? This ball game this week is vital to Auburn's season.
It really is.
I mean, if Auburn is to have
a winning season,
a step forward to show that step forward from last year, I think they have to beat Arkansas.
I agree. I mean, you know,
you don't beat Arkansas and you're 2-2. Are you going to be expected to beat Oklahoma?
Nope.
No, you're 2-3 before you go on the road for the entire month of October. You're going to be, I mean, you'll be very fortunate to get to 500.
Yeah, that could really sink some things if that happens. So you're right. This is very, very important that Auburn goes out, takes this game as serious as possible, not even talk about what happened in Fayetteville last year. That does not matter.
Right. Because remember what happened in, no, it wasn't Hugh Freeze or anybody, but. The last time Arkansas was in Auburn, it was ugly the other way.
I don't remember that game.
It was like
maybe I forgot.
41-17, wasn't it?
That was Brian Harsin's last year.
Yeah, remember it was like it was the second.
Wait, was that the game he got fired after?
Second half.
Yeah. Of course, yes.
Just the worst.
That was the end of the Brian Harsin era.
Yeah, it was.
How could I forget?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'd like to forget all 1.5 years of that. But yeah.
Each team took turns thumping the other on their home turf the last 2 years.
That's right.
So I think it is pretty close to critical this week.
It really is, and I expect a very close competitive game. That's what my prediction would be.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few points scored in this game. I think Auburn's going to need to score.
They better
a few points this week. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a 5-star
ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Dan is on his way to see the Braves and Dodgers over at Truist Park in Atlanta. We checked in with him a little while ago. We'll do it again in hour number two. We'd love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-564-1840. Other news over the was it Friday that Auburn picking up another commitment, Elijah.
It was Saturday during the game. Wasn't
it? Oh, okay. I didn't remember if it was. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Right before the game.
Yeah, I guess it was. Earlier in the day, Saturday.
But Elijah Melendez is a supremely talented linebacker from. I guess he's from Kissimmee. Down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch his tape, you can see how big he is. He's got some real length to him, but he plays really, really physical. I guess his official size is about 6'2", 225, but he plays bigger than that. And he will absolutely get after you. He will take out a fullback and roll off of him and make the tackle, or take on a pulling guard or tackle, and just plays football the way you want to see kids play football. So I think he's a guy that's going to come in and play right away on special teams, play very early on defense, and be a terrific player for Auburn.
Yeah, that's so. I mean, Auburn continues to flip players. He was committed to Miami.
Former
right?
Miami commit. Yep. I think he came to Auburn. Was it last week or the week before?
I think it was last week.
And decommitted right around that time, and then now he's committed to Auburn. And I think he just came up here and started falling in love with it. I think, fans of football can watch Miami on TV and see that maybe they don't have the best support in their stadium. It's not always full all the time, mm-hmm. or most of the time it's not even close to full. And you come up here and Auburn's playing, Alabama and A&M or New Mexico, and the stadium's packed.
In the rain.
In the rain, too, yeah. So, and I'm not saying it was packed Saturday, but it was pretty full.
Yeah. Pretty full considering the weather and the opponent, yep, yes.
Exactly. So, I think he saw how special Auburn is. I think he's bought into Coach Freeze and DJ Durkin and bringing this team back into competing for championships. He's just another really good piece of this class, which moved up to number four in the country after his commitment. And there's still a number of high-profile prospects Auburn's very involved with. We mentioned Deuce Knight many, many times, still very much in the
mix. Yeah, now he left the game the other night. But apparently, from what I've read, it wasn't a serious injury. It's just something that they didn't want to take a chance, put him in. I believe it wasn't a region or area game or something like that.
Yep. Naheem Offer, the number one or number two cornerback in the country, committed to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Should be here, I think, in sometime in the next 2 weeks for a game.
Caleb Cunningham's supposed to be in this weekend for the Arkansas game.
Yep. One of the top wide receivers in the country, committed to Alabama right now. There's another one.
He's a guy that Auburn seemed to be on early.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other teams, including Alabama, jumped on him, and he committed to Alabama. But interesting that he's coming to the Auburn-Arkansas game.
Yep. I never felt like Auburn was going to be out of this. And he is from Mississippi. Deuce Knight's from Mississippi.
Right.
So there could be a connection there if Auburn could get one or the other, with Deuce Knight being the guy I think Auburn has the best chance with right now. But I think a commitment from him could cause a domino with some other players.
Oh, absolutely.
Usman Kromal also, I think he is going to announce his decision on the 28th of September.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Saturday of the Oklahoma game.
Yes.
And right now, he still has some other visits to take, but right now I think Auburn I'd probably say clear leader for him.
That'd give Auburn pretty darn good running backs.
Two complimentary running backs.
With Alvin Henderson and him.
Alvin, more of that fast, speedy guy, not quite as big. And Kromal, a big physical back who's also got plenty of speed and athleticism, too.
All right, we are halfway done here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Hour number one in the books. Love for you to join in hour number two.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well here on this rainless Monday. Thank goodness for that. Well, hey, we needed rain.
Nice.
We got a lot of rain, though. We got a lot of rain last week. The outskirts of Francine or whatever, but we didn't get any really bad weather. Just a good bit of rain, including pretty good downpour there in the second quarter the other night, especially.
Yes.
During Auburn's 45-19 win over New Mexico. We'll talk more about that. We'd love to hear your thoughts if you were there in it or if you watched it on TV. Your thoughts on Auburn's performance, Hank Brown's performance. Auburn has to. They've got to tighten things up defensively, especially in the first half. Still wondering. I mean, we didn't really get an update on Tutal Miller today.
Said that it was too early on Tutal and Cam. Tonight.
Right. So, I mean, we don't know. It sounded last week like he'd probably be out longer than Cam Coleman.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Dylan Wade back at right tackle again this week. I thought he was okay there, but you're right. He's better at guard. Tate Johnson got the start, but Hugh Freeze today talked a good bit. And I thought Braden Joyner played pretty well.
And his PFF grade was better too. I think I'd be surprised if Braden Joyner's not starting at left guard.
And Hugh Freeze is. I mean, he is straight.
Yes.
He will tell you what he really thinks. Because a lot of coaches would have started when he started talking about Braden Joyner, he said, this is what a great young man. This is the kind of guy that you want to have in the program. Somebody that just wants to play ball, and he loves wearing the Auburn uniform. But he even went on and said there was a time when we thought we might need to encourage Braden to find another place.
Right.
And now he's playing a lot of plays and playing well. A lot of coaches wouldn't have gone that far. But, I mean, Hugh Freeze will tell you. But, I mean, that is exactly right. I mean, Braden last year as a freshman was, I mean, deep down the depth chart. He's in better shape now. He is really – I mean, you've heard talk about him all fall. And he got the opportunity, got out there and played, got an extended amount of plays. I think he had about 30 snaps.
Yep.
The other night, and I thought played really well.
Yeah, and I would have to put him down as one of the most improved players I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. Not just the amount of improvement he's made, but in the time period he's made, too. It's so impressive. I mean, this kid just had to work his absolute tail off. And then, of course, Hugh Freeze talked about how much he loves Auburn and how much of a joy it is for him just to put on that uniform and go out there. So you know if he does get that start Saturday, how excited he's going to be.
Yeah, and caller earlier, Jay was saying, Auburn needs a little beef. Braden's not the smallest guy either. He's like in the 320, 330 range.
He is. He is height-wise not the biggest.
Yeah, he's like 6'2".
Maybe.
I think they list him like 6'2", 328 or something like that.
Maybe. But he certainly has made himself into – a very talented player. I think his future is probably going to be a center.
Yeah, and he's worked at center and guard.
But, right now you got Connor Lou there, and I think for now he's going to have to play guard. And, buddy, I don't care his size. He gets out there and gets the job done.
Yeah. I mentioned this earlier. Connor seemed to struggle a little Saturday. That was a bit of a surprise. Auburn needs him to play well. They need to make sure that interior core, which we thought was really the strength of the offensive line with Jeremiah Wright and Dylan Wade before he moved out to tackle along with Connor.
Yeah, and that's going to be big, especially the next two games. I don't know much about Oklahoma's defensive line, but I know Arkansas's got some big boys.
Oklahoma does too.
Yeah, and Arkansas's got a really good defensive end that's going to put a lot of pressure on Auburn's tackles to get him blocked, whether it's in pass pro or whether it's in the run game.
All right, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. You can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of the Drive. And that number is 334-564-1840. Let's get to the Drive Hotline. And Spectre is up first. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, Bill, Brian, how you doing?
Oh, great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to say this about Peyton Thorne. You know how I've been about him for the last couple of years, so I'm glad to see that the coach has really seen what he has in Hank Brown. And
I'll say this about Peyton. I thought Peyton handled himself as well as you could expect anybody to Saturday. I mean, he was there on the sideline with Hank when they'd come over and go with the assistant coaches. He was there with them. He was one of the first guys congratulating players that came in. There's no question about Peyton Thorne's, characteristics. He's a leader. He's a good kid, and he is a team player. So mm-hmm. I was impressed with the way Peyton handled himself Saturday.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that he definitely is a team player. And for him to act the way he's acting, I commend him for it. But, the name of the game is to win the game. And, Bill, I've been saying this also about the offensive line and the defensive line. These games are won right there in the trenches. And is this not the second year these guys have been together as a whole? This is the beginning of the second year.
Well, I mean, you've had a lot
coaches
of
coaches or players.
Just the offensive line.
I mean, you've had a lot of turnover, though. You got to remember they brought in a bunch of transfers on the offensive line, 1 year guys that moved on after last year.
Four of the starters are back, although Dylan's playing a different spot. And, Jeremiah didn't start last year. Right. Yeah.
Okay. From this point forward, I'm sure that these linemen, defensive and offensive, have got to show up. And I believe the offense with Hank and our running backs, and especially our receivers, are going to take care of themselves. But we cannot have our defensive backs running up to shore up the linebackers.
No, that's one of the things Hugh Freeze talked about today. He said if you're supposed to be the deep safety and you see the quarterback moving around, you're still supposed to play deep safety. You don't run up. And that cost them twice. I mean, there was a 33 and a 55-yard pass because there wasn't any safety help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, our defense as a whole, I mean, we gave up everything between the 20s, but when it got down to the 20s, we started doing what we do best, started holding them out of the end zone.
Yeah, and it's odd is because DJ Durkin's never been known as a bend but don't break kind of defensive coach. That's not his philosophy.
Mm-hmm. But Auburn's defenses have been known to do that.
Well, you're right.
Anyway, I'm trying to get out from underneath what I had for the last couple of weeks. So.
Well, that's good. Hopefully you're getting better. Man, hopefully the weather helps too. It doesn't trick us too many more times.
It is. It's just me being at my age is going to take a little bit longer.
I understand. Hey, I understand that. The older I get, the more I understand that.
All right, guys.
Take care, Spectre.
All right, you too.
Well, hopefully Kay and Lee is back close to full speed this week. That would help Auburn's secondary quite a bit. I mean, when we were talking with Dan a little while ago, I mean, it was interesting to look out there and you saw basically a couple of guys who appear more suited to nickel as your outside corners with Keontae and Champ. And we'll have to wait and see what the lineup is. One of the things I don't think right now, and I know that we've talked about this on the air quite a bit, other than Keldrick Faulk, I don't know that Auburn has a guy that has shown they can be disruptive
up front.
Up front.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen, I thought last year showed
I'm talking especially interior, though.
Right. Oh, no. No, there's no Marcus Harris. Well, Malik Blockton is
he's for a true freshman.
Right. You can look at him now and know that he's going to be that guy, right? He's just a freshman out here making plays.
But, I mean, Auburn, you know, it's interesting. They've sort of trimmed, cut back on the number. Obviously, against Alabama A&M, you can play everybody.
Yeah.
And they did. But against Cal, they only played 21 players on defense.
Yep.
And this past week, I think they only played
about
25
on
defense. You know, we really haven't – you haven't seen – did Trill Carter even get in the game?
I don't remember
if he did at the very end. He may have at the very end. Gage Keys got in at the very end of the game. Those were the two guys who were your starters coming out of the spring.
I know. That's pretty wild. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're hardly seeing the field now. Phillip Bleedy played he played some.
Yeah.
He played more than those other two that I mentioned. But it was more Isaiah Rakes, Bobby Jamison, Travis, Jason Jones, and Malik Blockton playing almost all of the inside Saturday night.
Not what we would expect a month or so ago.
No.
Mm-mm.
So I mean, and that's going to be really really important to watch. Auburn's got to get some. They've got to get some push up front defensively.
I think on the defensive line, you got some young guys who are going to be those dudes, right?
Amaris, I think so.
And
Jamonte,
TJ, and we see Malik Blockton. You know, those guys are going to get bigger, stronger, and better. And then this class of defensive linemen they got coming in,
right?
I mean, they got some really good players in the class.
They really, really need them.
So you can see it coming, but that's a position usually you don't want to count on young guys. So I think they're probably going to need, depending on who comes back from this group, maybe go out and find a little bit more veteran help. But you'd like them maybe to just target one guy there and one guy here that can really.
You'd hope it would be, somebody that can, it's a plug and play, and you know that they can play in this league.
They don't need to go out and sign four or five defense line. They maybe need to go out and sign one or two and make sure that one or two guys are really good players.
334-321-1390, Back to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, to the topic you were just discussing, the issue that Auburn is having on defense, do we contribute that to scheme, to execution, or to talent? And I don't understand how you can simultaneously have no pass rush and no coverage. Seems like you've got to have one or the other.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just incredibly frustrating to watch. And then that's my question for Brian Matthews. And second thought, I'm happy Hank Brown is starting. I hope he plays the rest of the season to find out if maybe he could be the starter next year. That's all I got, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, Hank's got the opportunity to do that.
He does.
But he's got to continue playing well.
And I don't – regardless of what – I mean, maybe he just tears it up, right? But I would imagine there's going to be a competition next spring and fall regardless. But we'll see. We will see. The defense, I think there are a lot of things going on with Auburn's defense. First of all, I think people – kind of discount the fact that this is the fourth different coordinator in 4 years or third different in 3 years or whatever. The second one for a lot of these guys that have only been here a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think there's been an adjustment there, right? And I think that, you know, when you get a coordinator, regardless, there's going to be an adjustment period. I mean,
this is a drastically different defense
from what they were doing before.
Yes.
Number two, I think that you've also got a bunch of new players they're working in, transfers, freshmen. That makes it difficult at times. And three, I think they are deficient in certain areas. I don't think they have enough playmakers up front, like you mentioned.
Right.
And I think the secondary is just lacking right now in experience, depth, and playmakers.
They really miss Kay and Lee Saturday. I think they really missed him Saturday. And I thought the linebackers had an off game Saturday as well.
I would agree with missed tackles especially.
That's the thing. And
outside leverage was so bad.
Oh, yes.
So bad.
I mean, look for Bobby Petrino in Arkansas to put a lot of motion.
Yeah.
I would say they're going to be a lot of moving parts there in the offense to try to confuse the Auburn defense.
Yep, they're going to see a lot of 12 formation with the double tight ends. They're going to try to run right at Auburn. If they have success there, that's going to really
that's really the worst thing. Oh, if
really put
and
Auburn
Auburn's given up some big plays, right at them defensively.
So, this is such a big game, and Auburn's really going to have to play well.
All right, we'll get one more before our first break of hour number two, and Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I missed the first hour. I would assume a lot of people, or some people, have talked about how many times Auburn rushed only three.
Yeah, it was most of the game, as a matter of fact. And Hugh Freeze talked about that a little bit today. He said, you can't do that against Arkansas. The thought process that he explained to us today was that Auburn felt that they could stop New Mexico's running game with three. That's if the linebackers and everybody else is doing what they should behind them. And Auburn gave up some explosive plays on the ground Saturday, and they weren't and they weren't getting the quarterback either. Yep. They weren't stopping the run or getting the quarterback.
Yeah, well, it kind of hurts. I heard today that Zell McLeod, he played half of his snaps 20 to 25 yards away from the ball.
Yeah, he looked like a linebacker who was dropping into coverage most of the night.
He had three balls thrown his way, all were completed. Yeah. Same stat for Keyron
Crawford,
whatever he said his name, Crawford.
Yep.
Three for three. And then when we rush three, a lot of times we've got breaks on the outside, and he comes down inside. So, Lord knows. And we did that against Cal, too. So it's not just, we had a game plan against, New Mexico for that. We did the three-man rush a lot against Cal, too, and it really burned us the first half and pretty much kept the ball away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows, we heard all about this attacking defense, Okay, well, maybe it is. But it's time to bring it out.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's not what we'd heard or what we've seen from DJ Durkin's defenses in the past.
Which makes me wonder if maybe they saved up some stuff, right?
I want you to go out and look online and tell me all the pass breakups and interceptions McLeod and Keyron Crawford has in their college career.
I don't think it would take very long.
No, probably just once they tipped at the line of scrimmage, not necessarily dropping back in coverage. Yeah.
Well, here's to hoping we rush for every single play against Arkansas. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call. Yeah. Now I'll tell you the other thing they've got to contain. They can't let Green, get outside containment.
Yeah.
And he's dangerous. Running it right up the middle, but, I mean, you sure don't want him to break the contain either.
Yeah. the defense really needs to play better.
You're not kidding. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. We'll check back in with Dan, see if he has any idea where he is on his way to to the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Hi, I'm Jessica Venturi, Lee County District Attorney, reminding...
On ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews here in the studio. We got Dan on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. You're around the airport now?
I am, I'm on the bypass.
Oh, there you go. Oh. Good. Golly, the last two times I've been on 285.
Hours, that was what I would think. As we got people slowing down.
Uh-oh, I hear the horn.
Yeah, I swear you can't get on 285 without getting into a traffic jam.
Was it Pascual Perez that was on 285?
Yes.
Remember him?
Yeah.
We got a guy who wants to change lanes, just decided to stop on a lane in 285.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's always good. You know, always good.
I want to get in the left lane, so I'm going to do it by stopping. Thankfully, catastrophe averted there, but good Lord.
Yeah, I tell you, the drivers over there, it's like, good luck. Yeah, I said, I was concerned about calling you back. Yeah.
Well, I've been trained for this, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen some hilarious driving in my years, but anyways, should be a Truist the next couple of minutes.
Well, that's good. The weather looks like it's going to be nice for this one. It's a big ball game. It's a big ball game for both teams. Braves are fighting for that third wild card spot or to make sure they get in the playoffs. And that was just laughable to think about that early on this season. Yeah. But I mean, they have had just a nightmare season trying to keep people healthy. It seems like every pitcher on that staff has been on the injured list at some point or another. And the Mets have really played well here down the stretch. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, I mean, it's amazing the season they have had. Dan, you were talking about it a while ago with so many pitchers that have been in and out, mostly out this season.
Honestly, anything I get from the postseason this year is gravy from the Dodgers. I mean, you think about next year, Bill. If the Dodgers play their cards right, you could be talking about Flaherty and Glasnow and Yamamoto and Ohtani in the rotation next season, which is really impressive. Right now, you know, Glasnow's injured again, unfortunately. Might be the end of the road for Kershaw. And it sounds like... Well, I mean, I guess there's also the question of, you know, Walker Buehler stuff, but no, it's been a tumultuous season. Luckily, the Dodgers they've got the talent and the prospects to absorb a lot of this. But it has not been it's not been an easy season for LA, especially when you think about the pitching injuries and the months that Mookie Betts missed with the injured wrist.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses in my head. That's what I'm hearing.
They still got the second best record in the National League. I mean, they're winning the West.
it felt like the Phillies' year all season in the National League, and while they're tapering off a little bit, they're slowing down some. I still would think, you know, they're a tough roster to contend with.
If it comes down to Philly and LA, I'm coming to borrow some of your LA gear. I'm just telling you right now.
I would think the Mets would be more disdainful than the Phillies.
I'm against the Phillies. I'm against the Liberty Bill, the Philly cheesesteak, you name it.
There's nothing wrong with a good cheesesteak.
Well, I would have Brian, I'd have you in Dodger Blue for an NLCS.
100%.
God, I don't know that there are a ton of Braves fans that would even find themselves in.
I mean, I feel
LA
like Atlanta
gear.
And Philadelphia have a rivalry. You know,
they do. They
Falcons
do.
And Eagles.
And so do the Mets.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like the
Mets and the Braves definitely.
Yeah,
that was more back in the Chipper, the Larry Jones era.
That's right.
Where they'd chant Larry, and he just smacked
Larry.
The ball 400 yep. feet out of the stadium. Yeah.
Now I'm looking. I mean, tonight should be a blast. Get to see my Dodgers for the first time this year, and then.
Uh-oh.
And then?
Who's in?
Uh-oh. We're Dan's
breaking up.
Yep, Dan's breaking up. You were breaking up a little bit there. We were just talking a little while ago how very important, if not critical, this ball game is Saturday for Auburn. I mean, if they lose this one, it's hard to imagine that they're beating Oklahoma and then they've got the month of October on the road. So if Auburn is to make that step that they wanted to show that they were making from last year, I think they have to win this ball game Saturday.
Yeah, you know, this was a game we said all offseason was maybe the most interesting game on the schedule because of the damage that a loss would do. I know Jason Caldwell felt that way when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, Bill. So, no, this is a pivotal game for both teams. And if you're right, if you lose, if you're Auburn and you lose this one,
it really feels like the 2024 season is in danger of slipping away four games in. And that is not where you wanted to be in year two under Hugh Freeze. You understand if Hugh Freeze loses Saturday, that would be his sixth home loss as Auburn head coach in a year and four games, right? I mean that would be
wow,
a
I hadn't thought of that.
Astonishing start to the tenure.
Yeah, no kidding. You were telling me some numbers the other day. We're gonna move away from Auburn. Speaking of home losses, Billy Napier, probably thankful that the Gators are going to be gone, going to be away from home this week, as Billy Napier has now lost more home games in his 2+ seasons.
No way. I can't believe you're going to say that.
Than either Urban Meyer or Steve Spurrier did in their careers.
That's an unbelievable stat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go down there and fire him just for that. That's just unbelievable.
And the number is 6, Bill.
Yes.
The sixth loss at home for Billy Napier in his third season.
This is year three. But you're right. I had not thought about the fact that this could be 6. Really? That's crazy to believe that Auburn could have lost 6.
And I think all of us have been to Florida Field, right? I've been there in the stands. Oh, yeah. I've been in the press box. That place is loud. It is a tough place to play.
Well,
for you to have that record at home is not good.
Yeah, but to back to what Dan was saying, I did not realize that Auburn's lost 5 home games in less than a year and a half.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
I mean, at the very least, if you lose Saturday, let's put the kibosh on the
how tough it is
field.
Yeah.
Don't put it on the fans, dude. They're doing their job.
Oh, it's sound like we lost Danny. Dan was getting upset. No, I think
I was about to blame him for blame.
Dan, I don't think Dan was saying the fans, but he's saying how tough it is to win.
Yeah.
That thing of how tough it is to win.
I got you.
Which, remember, was a subject, was one of the questions that was asked during media days.
Yeah.
So, man, that is crazy. But that's another reason why it's ultra important to win on Saturday. Do we have Dan back?
He's coming back to defend himself.
I thought we had him back and he wanted to.
This is what I'll say about that. I think you go back. A lot of people watch South Carolina, Kentucky, the way South Carolina came out and played so aggressively at first.
Right.
I think Auburn needs to get back to doing that too, because I can remember games in Jordan-Hare Stadium against a number one Florida team.
You jump on them and the crowd never let them breathe.
Coming out and just rushing 3 and playing this, you know, kind of vanilla football. That ain't Auburn, man. Get out there and get after them, you know? Get this crowd into it a little bit
more.
I think they
better Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Bill, hang on. You're up when we come back for the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Monday afternoon with Bill and Brian Matthews. We were wrapping things up with Dan when he just
when I insulted
lost
him.
Control, hopefully not in the car.
Yeah.
No, he was just pointing out Auburn has struggled at home more than you would expect here recently. Before we get back to the phones, want to let you know, of course, it's Auburn, Arkansas this Saturday at 2:30 on the SEC Network. And then Auburn –
I thought it was ESPN.
No, I think it's – well, maybe it is. I was thinking somebody told me it was SEC Network.
ESPN. I've been reporting for the past 2 days. ESPN.
It's ESPN.
ESPN.
I've got the release here. I hadn't looked at it. Anyway, Auburn, Arkansas this week at 2:30 before Oklahoma comes in next weekend. And if you're looking for some tickets, I know of a pair for this week. And for next week,
all right,
and I think just looking to get back the investment of the cost of the tickets.
So which you can have gone up in the last.
Oh my goodness! So you can call in and we'll get you set up there if you're looking for a pair of tickets for this week or next week there on the west side in section one. So
very nice.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was surprised, Dan, as many times as Dan goes to Atlanta, that he was surprised somebody stopped in the,
on 285
in the right lane to let somebody over. I mean, that's standard procedure in Atlanta. I grew up in Atlanta. I lived all my life, and that's why I don't go back there anymore because I just can't put up with that. So,
Part of Atlanta?
You know, Dan's got to understand that's just standard procedure in Atlanta.
What part of Atlanta did you grow up in?
Southwest Atlanta. I went to Farrell High School and was a Georgia Tech fan for years because it was a hometown thing.
Well, I was Doraville, and I grew up going to Georgia Tech games, too. My grandfather worked there, so he took me to a bunch of games back in the day.
You get on the MARTA bus. Well, it wasn't MARTA then, but you could drive. You could go down there and get a ticket for $4.
You could go to Atlanta Fulton County skating for about the same price.
Absolutely, you could. Sure, you could.
Yep.
Yeah, and then one day I went to Auburn, and Bob Hope was the homecoming game, and I was pulling for Tech, and they went 1970, and Auburn won handily. But I loved the place after that, and I ended up going to school there. But I couldn't have gotten in the door checking the back door because I didn't have that kind of grades. But Saturday, we literally got to have this game. This is big. I didn't expect championship trophies this year. I really didn't. I thought we could have a shot at 8-4
mm-hmm.
with luck 9-3. I don't think that's happened now. But we just got to have this game Saturday. And with Bobby Vitrino calling your shots, you better not get down by a couple of scores. We've got to have this game Saturday. I support Hugh Freeze. I think he's the right man for the job. He's bringing in great players. He's promoting the program. Nobody understands, I don't think, what a dumpster fire this was prior to him taking over.
Agreed.
That's right.
And by the way, and Brian, I know Dan didn't mean it that way, but the Auburn people have showed up and supported. They've been there for the all these games, and they were there Saturday night in a driving rainstorm. It lasted about a quarter and a half. They'll be there again this week because that's just who they are.
Yeah, I think they realize how big a game this is. They have to. This is such a big game. And the other thing, go ahead.
It's huge. It worries me about Bobby Vitrino and that mobile quarterback. I just hope our guys rise to the occasion and get it done because we've got to have this game. I wasn't looking for championship this year. Jake Crane says all the time, it's a building process, but you've got to show some progress on the field.
And this is a game that should be winnable at home. I mean, there's. I don't think Arkansas is more talented than Auburn. I think it's pretty even. Sure. So this is one of those that at home, you need to win it.
Right.
And we haven't won some games at home recently. We should have.
Right.
Which people say, well, how big an advantage is Jordan-Hare because they've lost this team, that team. And they got a point there. So I'm going to put it on the players. If you want to continue to get this kind of support, and you're getting it. You got it Saturday night in bad conditions. Rise the occasion and get it done.
Yeah.
The people will support you. The people will come if you'll get your job done.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I do think the players have come out flat a little bit this season, and I think that does affect the way
and
the
that's
crowd
one last
to that.
Thing, yeah. Brian. Thank you for saying that, and I'll let y'all guys go with this. It's a lot of people. I just asked people around me Saturday before I left. I said, "What are you saying?" And they say they look flat. They looked how can you be flat with the support you're getting?
Right. Yeah, that's Hugh Freeze said the same thing.
Yeah. They've got to come out with energy and passion and just get after it. That's what Auburn people want from their football team, right? They want them to come
exactly.
out there and try to take somebody's head off in that first quarter.
And, you know, I don't know whether it's – you know, all these guys have got NIL deals like this, and they got money, and they got nice cars, and are they just not interested anymore? Could that be it?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes when you're a big favorite and you're thinking about, oh, we hadn't played a conference game or we just lost that one, you're still moping from losing the game the week before, and you're thinking, oh, it's not even a conference game. But somehow you've got to get them out of that. You've got to do it. It's the old one of the oldest cliches in all of sports is one game at a time. But you got to realize that if you don't play them one, if you don't think about this game that's coming up, you're probably going to have another L.
Yeah, there's an old saying: you don't worry about the next step until you climb the one in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried about Georgia on the road. I'm not worried about Kentucky.
That's plenty of time to worry about them.
I'm worried about the next game.
Yep, that's right.
Win the next game, and the players need to rise to the occasion. As an old Auburn alum, I think, Irk Ruff, you say, rise to the occasion.
Yeah, good stuff, Bill.
That's all I got, guys. War Eagle.
All right, take care.
The only thing I would add to that is, and this game is big for all those reasons, but it's also big because you, Freeze, and his staff are putting together right now the best recruiting class since recruiting classes have been ranked.
Right. And they need to continue. There needs to be some other momentum than just the recruiting. I mean, you need to show some things on the field
and if
to have it continue.
If you can get through the next 2 months with Auburn folks still believing in this program and people on the outside – still being fearful of what Auburn can become, and there still being some momentum, they can finish off this recruiting class, you know, maybe higher than top four, maybe top three or top two, we'll see. And then they can roll into next year, and perhaps right now it's the number one class in the country, certainly an opportunity to build on top five class coming off a top eight class this past season. So this is how you build a team that can compete for a championship every year, which Auburn hasn't had, in my opinion, since the 1980s and Pat Dye. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
Auburn is right there on the cusp of this, but they just got to get through these next 2 months and still have that momentum, still have that belief with the inside and outside this program that they can get it done.
Uncle Ollie, go ahead. You're next on the drive.
Hey, gentlemen. Always glad to speak to you.
Yeah, likewise. What's on your mind?
This call's going to be all over the place. So, first of all, when Brian said he's listen, Doraville, the most underrated
ARS song,
the best song that Atlanta Rhythm Section ever did.
Yep. Boys from Doraville.
So, there, no doubt. Everything else, they did covers.
As Brian would say, it ain't much, but it's his.
They were about a decade or a little bit more in front of me at Sequoia High School, the Sequoia High School in Doraville, way back in the day.
Well, the line, rednecks drinking wine on Sunday, I was hooked.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was going to ask, this, like I said, this call's going to be all over the place. I didn't realize that the Auburn soccer team has not given up a goal all year.
That's right.
Yep. 30 to
all shutouts.
Yep. That's incredible.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's just nuts. All right, last thing. So I graduated with a degree in veterinary medicine. And the great thing about that curriculum, I only had to take two math classes. I had to take pre-calculus and calculus one.
All right. Huh.
And
that's hard to believe for any science major, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not a math guy. I hate math. But I do know that 4 inches is shorter than 96 inches.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes.
That seems reasonable
to
me.
So I watched the
And I do like numbers. Yeah.
I watched the Wisconsin-Alabama game, and it reminded me, I see this all the time, and I've asked high school coaches, I mean, of really good teams, and nobody has an answer for this other than that's just how we do it. Explain to me, when you're 4th and 4 inches, why do you line your quarterback 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage and hand off to a running back
right.
2 yards behind the quarterback.
Well,
please explain that to me.
I don't like it either, but I think one of the biggest reasons they do this is because teams almost play exclusively out of the shotgun
they
now.
They never practice taking right. centers, snaps
and,
under center.
And when they don't get enough practice doing that, it becomes an issue with not handling the ball correctly mm-hmm. and fumbling or not, you know, just not doing the right thing from center to quarterback exchange.
But we do live in an era of the tush push.
Yes.
So why not put a 320-pound lineman behind
quarterback.
The quarterback?
Yes. Or just put him at quarterback.
I don't understand it. It just blows my mind. I watched Wisconsin. They're on a roll. They're going down the field, fourth and 4 inches. And they line up and hand it to a running back 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's dropped 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never understand the philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to do that when you got Cam Newton back there, right? Because he doesn't get stopped for losses.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he doesn't have to hand it.
Yeah.
He's as big as anybody that's going to be getting there, and he's more athletic than any of them.
But when the other team knows exactly what you're doing, and you don't necessarily have a Cam Newton back there, but it does make it a little bit tougher.
A lot tougher.
Yeah. But again, if the defense lines up everybody in front of the center, and you have a quarterback with a 320-pound man pushing him, surely he can get 4 inches.
Yeah, I would think.
I mean, so I don't know. That's always bugged me. I do not. And I saw Auburn do it a couple of three times last year, down on the goal line. You know where it was. You know, fourth and one.
Yeah, Auburn's short yardage still has some work to do.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. Always enjoy talking to you.
Good hearing from you, Uncle Lolly. All right.
Good point, sir.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Your feet and want to make them happy. Check out Auburn's new